The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist, witness to Jesus, initiates a chain of testimony as his disciples begin to share with others what they have found. I begin reading at verse 29. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples. And as they watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a new pastor that just moved into town, but he needed to go to the post office. So he stepped out of his office door, and as he did so, he noticed that there was a young fellow riding on his bicycle. And so he waved him down and asked the young boy, "Do you know how to get to the post office?" And the young boy says, "Yes, sure I do. You see this street right here? You follow it until you get to the light, and then you take a right and go down 2 blocks and take a left, and then your post office is going to be on the left." And the new pastor was saying, "Thank you for those directions." And he said to the young boy, "You see this building behind me? This is the church. This is the church where I will be pastor at. And if you come here on Sunday morning, I will tell you how to get to heaven." And the young boy looked at him kind of funny and said, "Mister, how are you going to tell me to get to heaven if you don't even know how to get to the post office?" As I was reading through this gospel text, it was a bit confusing. There's puzzlement here, and it brings about questions. And one of the questions that kind of came out of this text for me is, do we have to know what we are doing in order to do the will of God? Let me say that again. Do we have to know what we are doing in order to do the will of God? Now, in most things, the answer is certainly yes. You do need to know what you're doing in order to take care of your business. For instance, if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you hear funny noises coming out of your car underneath the hood, do you stop the car immediately, pull over, pop the hood up, and start yanking on belts and hoses and wires and taking bolts off and screws apart and pieces out, hoping that maybe you'll get lucky and find out what was making the noise? I know if I tried that, The car wouldn't make that funny noise anymore, but it probably wouldn't be making any noise anymore. No, what you do instead is you take it to a qualified mechanic who can go through your car's engines and figure out what's making the noise. What's wrong with it? You want somebody who knows what they are doing in order to take care of that business. But do we as Christians have to know what we are doing in order to do the will of God? And the answer to that probably is most certainly yes. Think about it this way. When children are baptized, parents and sponsors make promises. They promise that they will teach their child the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, that they will place in their hands the Holy Scriptures, and that they will teach them to lead godly lives. Well, in order to do that, parents themselves need to know the Creed, the Lord's Prayer, Ten Commandments. They need to know how to lead a godly life as too. So yes, we do need to know what we're doing in order to know the will of God. But that question still remains. Look here in our gospel lesson for today. John has baptized Jesus, and it's the next day, and Jesus is still there, and Jesus walks by and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John knows who Jesus is because he gives witness then to what he saw in that baptism. That after the baptism, that voice from God came down and a dove in the form, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came and remained on Jesus. And John knew at that point that yes, this was the Son of God. But John was out preaching long before he baptized Jesus. And he knew to proclaim the message that the Messiah is coming, that the Son of God is coming. But John says twice here in our gospel lesson, "I did not know him." John didn't know who the Messiah was to be. He didn't know what he was doing, but yet he was still doing the will of God. So do we have to know what we are doing in order to do the will of God? I think it all comes down to being followers of Jesus Christ, being followers of God. We don't always know where we are going. We don't always know exactly what we are doing. But the important part is that we follow that calling, that we follow where God is leading us. I know during the week I prepare a sermon. I write it out or I go through it and think about it. And I think about the points that I want to make in that sermon. And then on Sunday mornings I preach the sermon. But afterwards, a lot of times after worship service, people will come up to me and they will say, "Pastor, I really enjoyed that point that you made in your sermon today." And they go out to spell out that point. But the thing is, that's not one of the points that I made. And it just goes to show that God can work through even me through my babbling sometimes. That God works in ways that His will is going to be accomplished even in spite of us. Even in spite of me, God's will is going to be accomplished. So we don't always have to know what we are doing. Sometimes there's great surprises in working in ministry. And so there's, as we stop and we think about it, there's great freedom in that. Because a lot of times maybe you are filled that you are being called into a certain aspect of ministry. For instance, maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class or teaching vacation Bible school. And you think, "I'm not qualified to do that, but I feel that God is calling me into that ministry." And I do know that as I teach many times, I find out that I'm actually learning more than the students do. And for those of you who do teach, you probably realize that you're probably learning more than the students do. So even though you may not feel qualified to do that, as you get working into the ministry, you find the joy of it. And you also find the wisdom and the understanding and the skills that you need to accomplish the task. And it doesn't just have to be teaching. It can be any of the ministry aspects. Maybe it's being a part of a committee. Maybe it's being in Lutherans of Life. Maybe it's being on the property committee or participating in the music. whatever programs that we have going on, or maybe it's just helping a neighbor out, or staying with a friend who's deeply troubled. Whatever ministry that is, even though you do not feel qualified, or that you don't know exactly what you are doing, yet God still calls. And the important thing is that you do follow. Not necessarily that you have all the skills or that you have all the wisdom or all the knowledge before you tackle the problem. It certainly does help to have those things, but it's not absolutely necessary. Don't let that stifle you. The important thing is that we do follow. Sometimes we don't always know what we are supposed to do. There was a speedboat racing driver who was in the middle of a race, and in the middle of the race, he made a slight miscalculation. He hit a wave at slightly the wrong angle, and it was the combination of the speed, the angle of the wave, and the size of that wave that caused his boat to jump out of the water and go flying and spinning. And in that process, the driver of the boat was tossed out of the boat and driven deep underwater. He was confused. He was disoriented. He did not know which way was up. It would have been very easy for him to panic and to try to swim in the wrong direction. But instead, he simply relaxed and he let his life jacket guide him back to the surface. Once he knew which direction the surface was, he was able to swim to the top of the water. For us too, we get confused sometimes. We get disoriented. We don't always know which way is up. But if we stop and we listen to that still small voice of God, that calling of God, and even though we don't know exactly where it's going to take us, when we listen to that, we can do the will of God. We don't always have to know exactly what we're doing to do the will of God. We simply listen to that call of Jesus Christ. Come and see. And amazing things open for us in the ministry of God's kingdom. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.